It's a little bit early because I know you got some other stuff to do. You're on speakerphone, I know, but that's because you're driving to work, huh?
Well, I'm driving to a meeting, and just as I find a parking spot here and a crowded D.C., then I'll hang up. I'll get off the speakerphone, rather.
I got you. Well, let's do this. Let's look back to last week, action Congress took that you thought was important that you'd like to share with us.
Sure. A couple of things. The first thing that we did is we had an education reform bill to roll back the impact of No Child Left Behind on our local school districts and to give more control back to state and local folks, and also to stop the federal government from being able to cram Common Core down our local school districts' throats. I've talked with some of our local school folks, and they're really happy that we did that. So I'm glad that we were able to get that done. The second thing that we did is we passed 21st Century Cures, which is developed some new model for funding the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, so that we can start going after some of the 9,500-plus diseases that for which cures have not been found.
Coming up, I know this week you're going to have a news conference with Senator Cruz. And, you know, we've been talking about Ex-Im Bank now for about 2 months prior to its end, which was at the end of June. Why is this still in the news, and what's going to be going on at the news conference that you're going to have this week?
Well, there are a lot of people that are still concerned that the Senate may try to attach a reauthorization. Let me say this: Ex-Im has currently died for the first, and has gone into run default mode, which is the first time it's ever gone without a reauthorization. So we made some headway that has not been made in Congress before. But secondly, there are some folks in the Senate that are trying to attach an Ex-Im reauthorization to a must-pass piece of legislation, and that's a temporary extension of the transportation bill. And so one of the things we'll be talking about in the news conference today is that our desire to make sure that does not happen.
Now, to help us a little bit with Civics 101 now, the body of the Senate as opposed to the body of the House of Representatives, so can Senator Cruz or any other senator prevent that from coming to a vote under his current alignment, or how does that work?
Well, they can try, but there are probably 60 votes to stop the filibuster process. So, you know, Senator Cruz and some of the other folks that I work with, like Mike Lee, can try to, that are conservatives, will try to stop it. But there's a good likelihood that would be overridden. Now, the good news is the Senate is working on a 2-year extension for the highway transportation bill, and that is not likely to match up well with what we're going to do. Because today in the House, we're going to do about a 5-month extension. And so that won't match up well with what the Senate's done. So I think the Senate will have to adopt ours, and next time we'll stay unreauthorized if everything works out right.
All right, there you go. Bill Floor is now joining us. He's got the handheld now rather than the speakerphone. That's why it sounds a little different. Okay, then also you have a news conference later on this week about First Amendment rights as well.
Well, that's correct. If you look at what the Supreme Court decision did, and even if you read John Roberts' dissenting opinion, he said that, and what many of us are concerned about is that our First Amendment rights, for those that believe in traditional marriage, may be in peril. And so I'm working with, over 150 other conservatives in the House and folks like Mike Lee in the Senate to try to come up with some legislation to reaffirm our First Amendment rights and to make sure that the federal government does not begin to discriminate against faith-based and values-based organizations and persons because of this particular ruling.
Bill Floor is joining us from D.C. The president is going to hold a news conference today to talk about the Iranian nuclear agreement that they've come up with. Fair to say that you're not in agreement, basically, with the president's stand?
It is a horrible, horrible deal. I mean, this will go down with what Chamberlain said, you know, prior to World War II. I mean, this is just an awful deal. For one thing, you can't verify it because you don't have any time, anywhere inspections. It still gives Iran a pass to the nuclear weapon. And then the thing that came up at the end that where the president and Secretary Kerry capitulated is that Iran insisted on being able to have the arms embargo against them lifted, so now they can go buy advanced weaponry from Russia and China. And that's a terrible thing to do, and that set of zip codes in the world. So, I mean, they can buy ICBM technology from Russia, and in less than 8 years, they could plant a warhead right there in the middle of, name an address in Texas, and they could do that. And that was just horrible. So, anyway, we in Congress can do all we can to stop it. Under the Iran nuclear bill that we passed a few months ago, we have the ability to stop the deal. The president said he would veto that. And so we're going to have to hope that we can override a veto.
I was interested to see that Bob Menendez, who's a Democratic senator and senior member of foreign relations on the Senate side, said, his quote, "I'm concerned the red lines we drew turned into green lights." That's a Democrat saying that.
Well, and he is exactly right. I mean, it's one of the few times I've agreed with some folks on the other side of the aisle. But I will tell you this. I don't know if we're going to be successful or not in stopping the president from this horrible deal. But there is one of the few areas of bipartisan agreement in Congress is when it comes to the support and protection of Israel. And Israel is rightly concerned about this. And I think that if we can rattle everybody's cage on what this means for the future of Israel, that we should be able to hopefully override the president's veto and stop this thing. I mean, Speaker Boehner has said many times a no deal is better than a bad deal, and I have to agree with him.
Well, go ahead.
It's just a horrible deal.
Well, Netanyahu said Israel is not bound by this deal, so he's already saying even before it's approved, and take us through that, because Congress has to approve this deal. I mean, it's been signed, but there's still a timeline involved here.
That's correct. We've got 60 days to review it, and then we can give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And my guess is Congress will overwhelmingly give it a thumbs down. If you look at most of the five things that the president said he wanted to do in this deal, and that many of us have told him we wanted in this deal, he really whiffed on about three of them that are hyper important. And then he added this. Then he gave up on a new provision, nasty, to let Iran buy weaponry from other countries. And that, for lack of a better term, that just sucks.
All right. So now, if that happens, if it gets voted down, do we end up putting negotiators back in 5-star hotels in Geneva or someplace, and they start over at point one, or is it dead for a certain amount of time, and the sanctions stay in place?
Well, my hope is that we would go ahead and do what we need to do, and that's to make the sanctions tougher on Iran. We need to get Iran to do like Gaddafi did and just give up their nuclear program. And my feeling about this, and this is just Bill Flores talking, but I think I can speak for most of the folks in the Republican Study Committee, is that we ought to ramp up sanctions and bring them to their knees on this deal so that they don't need a nuclear program where they're building their own uranium. They can buy commercial uranium from Westinghouse. So, they ought to do that instead of trying to, they don't need centrifuges. They don't need to be spinning out their own uranium. So I think if they want a peace and medical-oriented or power and medical-oriented nuclear program, they ought to just do it commercially.
Well, that certainly would cool things down, at least for an area of the Middle East, and we need that anytime we can get it, that's for sure.
Bill Flores, that's exactly right.
Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday, and you can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. I know you had to change your schedule today. I appreciate you doing that so you could spend some time with us.
Well, thank you guys for changing. So, anyway, I'd ask all our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women and our first responders.
All right, thanks.